Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. Today we are fortunate to have Her Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat 2.44 onwards. Thank you, Mataji. Dandvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sri Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time to us and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Now I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Yashomati Mataji, for your very, very warm welcoming. And thanks to all the very wonderful devotees for the lovely chanting. Hare Krishna. Just a second. Okay. So we are continuing our study of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat, written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. We'll start with the prayers. Ajanu lambita bhujau kanakavadatau sankirtanaikapitarau kamalayadakshau vishvambharau dvijavarau yugadharmapalau vande jagatpriyakarau karunavatarau Jayati Jayati Deva Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Jayati Jayati Kirti Tasya Nitya Pavitra Jayati Jayati Bhritya Tasya Vishveshwa Murte Jayati Jayati Nrityam Tasya Sarva Priyanam. All glory unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra. All glory unto His eternal pure excellences, all glory to the servants of the Supreme Controller of the universe, all glory to the dancing of His loving associates. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adikanda 1.5. So we are at a point in Chaitanya Bhagavat where the description of the birth of several associates of Lord Chaitanya is being discussed. And all these associates, they took birth before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many of them. And they took birth in various parts of India and not necessarily in the Bengal area. And the topic that we will be discussing for today is how is it that so many associates took birth in various parts of the country and not just in Bengal. So that is what we will be discussing today. And of course, in our previous two sessions, we have seen glimpses of this point by both Kirtana Sundari Mataji and Adi Gadadhar Prabhu's classes. So we're just going to elaborate on that and we'll be continuing from verse 44 onwards. Okay. Om Agnyanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Mahamvande Shri Guram Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajanini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshtarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Vancha Kalpataru Vyashya Kripa Sindhu Vyaiva Chapatita Nam Bhavani Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adikanda, texts 44-45 onwards, and we'll finish a chunk of verses today. 44-45. Ganga tira punya sthana sakala thakite vaishnava janamiye kina sochya deshete apana haila avatirna ganga tire Ganga tire sangera prasade kena janma yena dure. The banks of the Ganges is most sanctified. Then why would a Vaishnava take birth in an impious place? The Lord appeared on the banks of the Ganges. So why did his associates appear in different places? So that is the first question that is being asked by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and he himself will obviously answer the question. So, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam has the answer to this question. So if the Ganges is flowing in one place, obviously great devotees should take birth around the area of the Ganges because the Ganges is all purifying. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took birth in the region of the Ganges. So why did the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not specifically take birth in this region and they took birth from different places, right? Many of these places were considered even impure because the Ganges was not flowing there. So in spite of it, how is it that associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take birth there? That is the question that he's raising. And why is he raising this question? Obviously, he's raising this question for us because we might have this question. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he raises this question and he answers it himself. So how does he answer it? He first, in the commentary, we see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he first quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So we all know that Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they have answers to all the questions that we might have in our minds. So Srimad Bhagavatam addresses this. This is from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 21, chapter 21, verse number 8. अकृष्णसारो देशानाम अब्रह्मण्यो सुचिर भवेत् कृष्णसारोपि असौ वीर किकटा असमक्षेत्रिणाम 11:21:8. Among places, those bereft of the spotted antelope, those devoid of devotion to the Brahmanas, like those possessing spotted antelopes but bereft of respectable men, provinces like Kikata and places where cleanliness and purificatory rites are neglected, where meat eaters are prominent, or where the earth is barren, are all considered as contaminated lands. Okay, so all of these are contaminated. Why specifically these points are put up? The first thing that was put up was a place bereft of spotted antelope. Okay, spotted antelope, those devoid of devotion to the Brahmanas. A place might have spotted antelopes, but then it doesn't have respectable men. Provinces like Kikata and places where cleanliness and purificatory rites are neglected and where meat eaters are prominent and the earth is barren like deserts. All of these are considered as contaminated lands. So let's divide this, understand this verse properly first. So when we talk about Krishna Sara deer, it's a deer, it's a variety of, it's an antelope, you can call it a spotted deer, something like that. So when these are present in certain regions, that region is considered to be sanctified. Why? Because the hide or the skin of the spotted antelope is used by brahmacharis when they reside in the ashram of their guru in the forests. Not only that, the skin of this antelope is also used as a garment for those who receive initiation for execution of various Vedic sacrifices. So a place where Vedic sacrifice is performed is obviously pure. And to perform that Vedic sacrifice, the initiate has to adorn himself with the skin of a spotted antelope. Okay, so therefore, the regions where the spotted antelope is present, which also means that in that region, there is a lot of water present and nature is in bounty. So there are fruits, trees, flowers, there is water, and these spotted antelopes are roaming around. In such a region is considered to be very, very pure because Vedic sacrifices can take place in that region. And Manu Samhita 2:23, it states, places devoid of sacrificial performances and naturally grazing spotted antelopes are known as Mlecha Deshas or impious lands. So the same thing is also confirmed by Manu Samhita. Now, one may ask, okay, there could be a place where there are spotted antelopes and many Vedic sacrifices are being performed. But what if spiritual people are not around that place? What if there are people who are doing Vedic sacrifices, but they are somewhat inimical towards devotional service? Then is that place okay? No. Bhagavatam clarifies that even such a place where Vedic sacrifices are performed, but the people in general are impious, they are not God conscious, they are not devoted. Sometimes, you know, you can be performing Vedic sacrifices and still not be devoted to the Supreme Lord. So even such places are considered as polluted. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he explains that initially the places of Bihar and Bengal were bereft of devotional service to the Lord and they were considered impure once upon a time. But then great Vaishnavas like Jayadev Goswami, they appeared in these territories and they converted them into holy places. So if a Vaishnava takes birth in a place, even though that place may be considered impure, that place becomes automatically purified. So that's why in this verse, we see the term Asauvira. Asauvira means a place without Suviras. And who are Suviras? Suviras are persons who are very saintly, ordinary, you know, they are not ordinary saintly persons, but they are persons who are very, very devoted to the Supreme Lord. So if the place is very nice, it looks very auspicious, it has these deers and all that, but still the Suviras are not populated in that place, then that place is not considered to be very, very pure. So just like, you know, this analogy is given by Srila Prabhupada. Ordinarily, a person who obeys the states of laws is considered as a respectable citizen. In the same way, one who strictly obeys the order of God, the law of God, is considered to be a decent man, or he's called as a suvira. So basically, a person who is intelligent, who is devoted to the Supreme Lord, is called as a suvira. So what are the, you know, qualifications for a place to be considered as pure? First is, of course, Vedic sacrifices should be performed there with the presence of the spotted antelope. But the spotted antelope could be there, but at the same time, if Suviras are not there, then that place is not considered pure. Okay. Now, the next point he tells is that, you know, places like the Kikata region, they are also considered impure. So Kikata refers to the modern state of Bihar. Traditionally, Prabhupada writes that this was a territory of uncivilized men. However, if even in this place, great Vaishnavas take birth and great Vaishnavas give their association to the people there, automatically that place is considered as holy. So the contrast being made here is, even if there is a Kikata province, where you have only uncivilized men and suddenly a Vaishnava takes birth there or a Vaishnava is present there to purify the people there, that place automatically becomes a very purified place. But however, if there is a place where all these Vedic sacrifices are performed and there is no devotion to the Lord, then that place is automatically considered as impure. So very nice, you know, explanations by Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we are pretty much using the verse 44-45 from Chaitanya Bhagavat, and we are also adding the commentaries from the Srimad Bhagavatam verse. So another point that is raised by Srimad Bhagavatam is asamskrita. Asamskrita means it indicates a lack of cleanliness as well as the absence of purificatory ceremony for internal cleanliness. So any place where internal and external cleanliness is not at all possible by either by the presence of Vaishnavas or by the presence of, you know, the symptoms in that place, then such a place is called as asamskrita. Okay. But if a Vaishnava takes birth, even in an asamskrita place, by chance, if he takes birth, then that place becomes purified. So Srila Madhvacharya, he also quotes from Skanda Purana. He gives another reference. So we saw references from Bhagavatam, from Manu Samhita. And now he quotes from Skanda Purana. He says, religious persons should reside within 8 mile radius of rivers, oceans, mountains, hermitages, forests, spiritual cities, and places where Shaligram Shilas are found. So it's a common saying in India that one should always reside in a place where there is a temple. If you reside in a city where there is no temple, then it is considered inauspicious. So the same point is being raised by Srila Madhvacharya. He's telling us that, quoting from Skanda Puran, that one must reside in places or cities where either Shaligram Shilas are found or 8 mile radius of rivers, oceans, mountains, hermitages, forests, and spiritual cities. Now, the key point here is one should reside in a place where Vaishnavas are present. Of course, it can be a very beautiful, beautiful place with a lot of lovely nature around, where fresh flowing water is there, and where the animals and the birds and trees are all very nice, and Vedic sacrifices can be conducted. But still, the underlying point is all these places should have Vaishnavas. So wherever the deity of Vishnu or the Supreme Lord is worshipped, that place automatically becomes sanctified. Now, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he specifically speaks about the Bengal region, right? He says that the Ganges flows in the Bengal region and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth in the Bengal region. Why did the other Vaishnavas who appeared along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take birth in other parts of the country? What is so special about the Ganges? So last time, many of you liked interactive sessions. So let me ask some, you know, interactive questions. So anyone wants to unmute and tell us what is so special about the Ganges? Why do you think it is very purifying?
Go ahead.
Please go ahead, Mataji.
Go ahead, Indu Mataji.
Mataji, the reason is because Brahma washed Ganga with to the lotus feet of Vamana.
Oh, wonderful, Garima. Excellent. Because it flows from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Yes. So therefore, Ganges is considered very, very purifying. It has a very great purifying potency. And especially the branch of the Ganges called as Bhagirathi, it flows in the Navadvip area in Gaudadesh. So many of, some of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates appeared in Gaudadesh, but many of them appeared outside Gaudadesh also. And it is said in scripture that if one continues to stay in a place that is very contaminated, bereft of Vaishnavas and bereft of holy rivers, then such a person needs atonement to purify himself. But however, these Vaishnavas, by taking birth in that place, they are actually purifying that place. So they are doing a favor pretty much by taking birth in different places. The place itself doesn't influence a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava influences that place. So that is the reason why Krishna sent the Pandavas to many places. The Pandavas were very close associates of Krishna. And in one sense, they are the, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes here, they are in one sense somewhat non-different from Krishna, because they have the purifying power of the Supreme Lord, since they are the servants of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna, he sent the Pandavas to different places to purify those places. So similarly, why can't the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take birth in different places so that that entire region can be purified? So in order to purify those places, such Vaishnavas, they took birth in different parts of India. Okay. The answer, we have discussed the answer, but in verses 46 and 47, Vrindavan Das Thakur, again, he reiterates this point. He says, Ye ye desha Ganga Hari nama vivarjita, ye deshe Pandava nahi gila kadachita. Se sabha jivera Krishna vatsal hoya Mahabhakta sabha janma yena agnyadiya. Out of compassion, Lord Krishna ordered his great devotees to appear in places where the Ganges does not flow, where the holy names are not chanted, and where the Pandavas did not visit. So these were such places where all these three were not happening. So like this, from time to time, the Lord just desired that his pure devotees, they descend into these places where these three things are not done. One is chanting the holy names. Second is where the Pandavas did not visit. And third, where the Ganges did not flow. And how is it that, a person can actually purify that entire region? So to answer that question, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, two, three places where scripture accepts this point. The first, reference that we can get is from the story of Prahlad Maharaj. So which family did Prahlad Maharaj descend in? Would anyone like to answer? he took birth in a demoniac family. And Bhagavatam says that the entire family was purified because Prahlad took birth in that family. So the entire race of demons became purified because of one person, who's Prahlad Maharaj. So in Canto 7, Chapter 10, verse number 18, we see this beautiful verse. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Trisaptabihi pita puta pitrabihi sahate anaga yat sadhu asya kule jato bhavan vai kula pavanaha. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself says, my dear Prahlad, O most pure, O great saintly person, your father has been purified. So he's telling Hiranyakashipu has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family. Why? Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. It is interesting in the purport that Srila Prabhupada writes, when the Lord says 21 generations, it means even the generations of your previous birth. So three generations in this birth and even your previous births, whoever your forefathers were, all of them got purified. So you can imagine the power of the birth of a Vaishnava. If a Vaishnava is born in a family, even like 10 generations apart or 3 generations or 5 generations apart, you can imagine the purification that that entire lineage actually gets. And it is very interesting that in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is mentioned that not only the family, that entire area is purified. And we'll read a verse where it says so many miles from the birth of a Vaishnava becomes purified. And we'll also analyze how it is possible. And in the very next verse, the Supreme Law, the Bhagavatam verse says, Yatra yatra cha mad bhakta prashanta samadashinaha sadva samudacharascha te punyate apikikata. Whenever and wherever there are peaceful, equipoised devotees who are well behaved and decorated with all good qualities, that place and the dynasties there, even if condemned, become purified. So wherever exalted devotees stay, not only their dynasties, but the entire community is purified. That entire area, that place, that community, everything gets automatically purified. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he also quotes another verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is very, very sweet because this verse is there in the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam in chapter 13, Canto 1, chapter 13. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantastena Gadabhrata. Quick question. Who is Gadabhrata? Gadagraja, Gadabhrata.
Krishna.
Hey, yes, it is Krishna. He's the brother of Gada. Gada is his younger brother, younger stepbrother. Okay. Translation. My Lord, devotees like your good self are very holy places personified. Because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Any ideas who's speaking this verse to whom? Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, very famous verse.
Yudhishthir to Vidura.
Perfect. Yes, Yudhishthir to Vidura. Very, very nice. So when Vidura comes, Yudhishthir tells him this. Because Vidura was in various places. He was traveling through various places. And Yudhishthir Maharaj tells him that you went to various places and you purified that place. Vidura goes to these places because it is Tirtha, because it is holy place. But actually what is happening? Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. Meaning he is the one who is actually purifying that place. We are thinking that he is going to holy places. He visits holy places. Balram visits holy places. But is Balram visiting holy places for himself? No, he is going there to purify that place. So like that, Yudhishthir Maharaj, he tells Vidura when he invites Vidura or when he sees Vidura after a long time, he tells him, you are purifying that place. How and why? Because you are carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart. So a Vaishnava is a person who carries the Supreme Lord within his heart, and in the process, wherever he goes, the community, the area, the family, people around him, those regions, everything becomes automatically purified. And in fact, when the Ganges descended, what happened? Anyone knows what happened when the Ganges descended? She was very reluctant to descend. But then what did King Bhagiratha tell her?
Can I answer?
Yes, of course.
So Ganga, when she was requested, then she has this doubt that if all the sinful people will bathe in me, then who is going to purify me? Exactly. And second doubt, who is going to hold the veg, you know, the like I'll be flowing. So who is going to hold me up? So Bhagirath said, let Lord Shiva. And to second answer, you know, Bhagirath said that pure souls, pure devotees will bathe in you with all your sins will go away.
Exactly. So imagine the power of a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava can purify the Ganges, the Vaishnava can purify holy places, and what not can the Vaishnava not purify? They can purify everything. The entire dynasty can be purified. So like this, Krishna, in the Dwapara Yuga, he did send the Pandavas to different places to purify those places. But our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the age of Kali, who's the most munificent incarnation, he sent his personal associates. He made his personal associates take birth in different places and even travel to different places so that all these places can be purified. And of course, he himself traveled the length and breadth of the country to purify these different places. Text 48. Samsara tarite Sri Chaitanya avatara apane Sri Mukti kari achena angikara. Sri Chaitanya descended to deliver the entire universe. He has confirmed this in his own words. Text 49. Sochya deshe sochya kule apana samana janmaya vaishnave sabare kare tatrana. The Lord and his devotees who are equal to him in quality, appear at impious places and in impious families in order to deliver everyone. So just like we were speaking about Socha Deshe, similarly, we are talking about Socha Kule. Kula means the dynasty or the family. So even if they are born in impious families, like, you know, it is explained in the purport, that generally because of our karma that we have accrued since many births, we get birth in a pious or an impious family. So generally it is said that a person may be pure because he is born in a Brahmana family because of his past pious credits. And someone may not have sufficient pious credit, so they may be born in a Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra families because of their previous activities. But Vaishnavas who are engaged in the service of Lord Vishnu, they are as good as Vishnu. And even if they take birth in other families, like, you know, even if they are taking birth in a Shudra family or even in an outcast family, still such people have the power to purify that entire dynasty. Just like how Prahlad Maharaj purified his entire dynasty. Can we pass judgments on Prahlad Maharaj? Oh, Prahlad Maharaj was very impious. That's why he took birth in a demoniac family. No, we cannot do that. Because obviously, Prahlad Maharaj was such a great Vaishnava. So because he was a Vaishnava, he mercifully takes birth even in other kulas, in other Shochya kulas. And he has the power to purify that entire dynasty. This is a very nice verse that is quoted by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Let's see what this verse says. It's interesting. Kulam pavitram janani kritartha vasundara vavasatis chadhanya nrityanti swarge pitaro pitesham yesham kule vaishnavanamadiyam. In whatever family a Vaishnava appears, his family, mother, birthplace and residence becomes purified and his forefathers dance in heavens. The word apana samana indicates that Vaishnavas are the spiritual masters of the entire world and inconceivably one with and different from Lord Krishna. They represent the lotus feet of Vishnu, the supreme absolute truth, and they personify the syllable Omkara. Though the Vaishnava Sri Krishna delivers the conditioned souls, whose aversion to Hari is born from accepting materialistic varnashrama and caste consciousness. That is why Vaishnava Shastras, Hari Bhakti Vilas, loudly declare Avaishnavo Padishtena Mantrena Nirayam Brajet Punascha Vidhina Samya Grahyet Vaishnavad Guruho. One who receives a mantra from a guru who is a non-devotee or who is addicted to sense enjoyment is doomed to a life in hell. Such persons must immediately approach a genuine Vaishnava guru and again accept a mantra from him. So, real spiritual master is a Vaishnava guru. So, if one has received a so-called initiation, so-called mantra diksha from an avaishnava, it is not considered as appropriate. One should immediately approach a Vaishnava acharya and accept initiation from him. But Vaishnavas are transcendental worshippers of the Supreme Lord and they have conquered the illusory energy. Therefore, they are as good as Vishnu. So why do we approach a Vaishnava Acharya? Because they have taken shelter of the Supreme Lord and he has transcended the so-called Maya that is affecting him because he has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So such a person is the one who can actually take you out of this conditioned state. If you go and surrender to someone who himself is encapsulated by Maya, how is it that you will be released? Unless a person is beyond that, he cannot actually release you from this entanglement of Maya. So therefore, it is suggested that one must immediately go and surrender to a Vaishnava Guru. So that is the instruction that is given to everyone, irrespective of whichever kula or whatever situation we are born in. Doesn't matter whichever place or kula or whatever, just go and approach a Vaishnava. Once you approach a Vaishnava, you will immediately be benefited. Yei deshe yei kula Vaishnava avatare yanhara tanhara prabhave laksha yojana nistare. So I told you there is one verse that might sound like an exaggeration, but it is very true. We'll analyze that. It says, in whatever place or family a Vaishnava appears, people for hundreds of thousands of miles around are delivered. So we saw this in our previous class also, just 2 days before we saw the same point. I'll repeat the translation. In whatever place or family a Vaishnava appears, people for hundreds of thousands of miles around are all delivered. Okay, so now I'll ask you a question. Do you think this verse is an exaggeration? Yes, no?
No.
No. Okay. Why do you think it's not an exaggeration? Do you have any reasoning for it?
By his or her association, he can deliver, many other souls back to Godhead.
That's the point. And just think of Russia, right? Russia is a classic example. Prabhupada went and he made one devotee. And today, see with the power of that one devotee that Prabhupada made, what Russia is now. It is a leader in Vaishnava culture, right? It's a leader in Krishna consciousness today. So many pure devotees, so many devotees have taken up the process of Krishna consciousness so lovingly. So we can see real life examples even today that is happening. One Vaishnava comes, everything is transformed. Prabhupada just came to the West. One person, single army, single person. And look at the West now. Even we who we took birth in so-called pure land, in so-called lands where beautiful rivers, like the purifying rivers were flowing. Many of us have taken birth there. Many of us have taken birth in great Vaishnava family, Brahmana families. But still, where did the purification come from? It came when we came to a land where Prabhupada set his foot. Of course, Prabhupada set his foot in many other places too. I'm not denying that. But then we got the opportunity of associating with associates of Prabhupada, right? And eventually we also got purified. So that is the power of a Vaishnava. Even if one Vaishnava is there, hundreds and millions of miles around that Vaishnava gets purified. Just like what happened with, again, Prahlad Maharaj. Just one Prahlad Maharaj, everybody got purified. So like that. Text 51. Ye sthane Vaishnava gana karina vijaya se sthana haya ati punya tirtha maya. Wherever the Vaishnavas go, that place becomes a sanctified place of pilgrimage. Very nicely it's explained that generally Vaishnavas, they consider, they are called as Paramahamsas, they are swan-like, okay? But they consider themselves to be very impure. They never think out of humility, they are thinking they are very impure. But however, when they go to these holy places, they are thinking, out of their humility, I'm going there to purify myself. But in return, what are they doing? They are actually purifying that entire place. Even without knowing, that's what is happening when these Vaishnavas go. Ordinary places are sanctified by the presence of Vaishnavas. So that is the point that is here. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, he also explains this in the Srimad Bhagavatam that we already discussed. That wherever Vaishnavas go, they carry the Lord in their heart. So automatically that place becomes better than any other ordinary place. We often tell that when you go to places of pilgrimage, you just don't go there to take bath in holy rivers. What do you do when you go to a place of pilgrimage? You go to a place of pilgrimage to take the association of Vaishnavas. That is the real meaning of going to pilgrimage. If one is just going to a place of pilgrimage to take bath in the river, then that is no pilgrimage at all. Now, what is the real purifying power? The real purifying power is taking the association of Paramahamsas. So that is what we are expected to do. Atayeva sarva deshe nicha bhakta gana avatirna kaila Shri Chaitanya Narayan. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya and his devotees appear in all different countries. You can even take the example of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, he took birth in a Mlecha family, in a Yamuna family. But still, he was the one who was responsible for making this entire world chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra incessantly. He's called as Namacharya. He not only purified his own community, but he purified everyone, even the so-called followers of the traditional Sanatana Dharma religion. Even they were purified by the presence of Haridas Thakur. So that is the power of a Vaishnava, irrespective of his birth or irrespective of the place where he is born. Even now, like we discussed in a couple of classes before, or even last class, yesterday's class, even now there are so many Vaishnavas who are taking birth in different lands, different parts of the world, in the west, in the east, in the north, in the south, in any random place, and still they are able to purify several people around them. Atayeva sarva deshe nija bhakta gana avatirna kaila Shri Chaitanya Narayana. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya and his devotees appear in all different countries. Nanastani avatirna haila bhakti gana navadvipe asi sabar haila milana. Although the devotees appeared in various places, what happened? They all met together in one place, which is Navadvip. Why did they get together in Navadvip? Because the Supreme Lord was present there. And it is interesting, a very beautiful analogy is made here. Everyone gathered in Navadvip. Navadvipe haiba prabhura avatar ata eva Navadvipe milana sabhar. So everybody joined together in Navadvip. Why? Because Navadvip is the birthplace of Gaurasundar. He specifically chose Navadvip. He wanted to take birth there. And he took birth there, that is fine, he was there. But then who came and uncovered this treasure that was there in Navadvip? It was all these Vaishnavas from different places who came and unearthed the treasure of love of Gaurasundar. They joined together with Gaurasundar and they performed pastimes, they performed kirtans, and they brought out this treasure that had taken birth in the region of Navadvip. Just like how the Goswamis, though they took birth in various parts of the country, many of them took birth in south of India, some of them took birth in other places, they all came and what did they do? They uncovered the different treasures of Vrindavan. They uncovered the different holy pastime places of Krishna in Vrindavan. Just like that, the devotees or the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from different places, they came and uncovered this premanidhi, this wealth of love that was there in Navadvip, which was the abode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 55. Navadvipa hina grama tribhuvani nai yani avatirna haila Chaitanya Gosai. There is no place in the three worlds like Navadvip where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So this was the chosen place. Everyone came here and they started uncovering this love of God. So this place came to be celebrated as the best place on earth. There are 14 worlds in this material universe, and among them, Bhuvan and Swarga are inhabited by materialistic person, the middle part of the universe. We are all materialistic people. Still, in this entire universe, these three, Bhuvan, Swarga, is considered as Karma Bhumi, because a person can take birth here and he can progress in Krishna consciousness. He can receive that seed of devotional service and he can practice that devotional service. This region is very good. It is facilitating devotional service, especially this Bhumandala, especially Bhumandala. And in Bhumandala, especially there is one region called as Jambudvipa. That is very, very conducive for devotional service. And in Jambudvipa, there is Bharatavarsha. Bharatavarsha, Bharatakanda, and there is Gaudamandal. So that Gaudamandal is non-different from Rajabhumi, the eternal Rajabhumi. So this Gaudamandal that has 9 different islands is called as Navadvip. And there is no place that is superior than this Navadvip, because the Supreme Lord Gaurasundar, the most munificent incarnation who can ever appear, appeared in this place, and everyone came there. So many demigods came, so many eternal associates of the Lord came. Everyone came there. They took the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the uncovered love of God together there. Therefore, the glories of Navadvip is matchless. It is matchless. No place can be like Navadvip. That is the glory of this place. Avatira bina prabhu janiya vidhata sakala sampurna karito niyena tata. Knowing that the Lord would appear, providence arranged all prosperity and opulence in advance. So now we are going to go to the next phase of today's discussion. So the first phase was about how Vaishnavas may appear in different places. Still, they all came together to uncover this wealth of love. So that is what happened. That was the first part of the discussion. Now we are moving on to the second part of discussion. So we have shifted our focus to Navadvip Mandal now. So what is the glory of this Navadvip Mandal? How was it before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared? So these are some discussions we are going to do now. So the Navadvip Mandal, before the Lord appears, we all know that generally very good arrangements are made, right? Before Krishna appeared, there were so many arrangements that were made. So many associates took birth and the demigods came and they set the scene for Krishna's appearance. So like that, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, not only did these different associates take birth and they were setting the scene, at the same time, Navadvip Mandal itself was getting ready to accept the Lord's arrival. So what happened in Navadvip Mandal? Navadvipa sampati ke varni bhare pare eko ganga ghate laksha loka snana kare. Who can describe the opulences of Navadvip? 100,000 people would take bath at a bathing ghat. So you must all be aware of the different places which can award liberation. There is a verse from Shastras that talks about the different places that award liberation. Anyone knows these places? You can name a few.
Kashi.
Kashi, correct.
Badrinath.
Badri.
And
Mathurapuri.
Rameshwaram.
Yes.
Jagannathpuri,
Yeah. So like this, there are many places that can award liberation in India. Correct. You name most all of it. So Ayodhya, Mathura, Haridwar, Kashi, Kanchi, Avanti, all of these. Dwarka and the other places you all mentioned, Badri and so many other places. All of these places can award liberation. But Mayapur Dham at that point in time was also one of these places. It was a great seat of learning. It was a very, very holy place, and it became very thickly populated. It was extremely, densely populated, that at a time in one ghat, hundreds and thousands of people would come and take bath in a bathing ghat. So it was considered as a very pure place. It was thickly populated, and innumerable visitors would come to bathe in the Ganges of Navadvipa. So why was it considered so popular at that time? It was mainly because of the Ganges. Because the Ganges River was flowing there, there were plenty of opulences that was there in this Navadvipa area. So just like how Ayodhya, Mathura, Haridwar and so many other places are considered very pious, one can earn lots of pious credit. Similarly, people were thinking that Navadvipa has the Ganges, and in one ghat, so many people would come and take bath. Trivida Vishaya Eka Jati Laksha Laksha Saraswati Prasadi Sevi Mahadaksha. What's the meaning of Daksha?
Expert.
Expert.
Expert. Yes. What was our Daksha expert in?
Progeny.
Progeny. Yeah, yeah. So, by the glance of Saraswati Devi, Trivida Vishaya Eka Jati Laksha Laksha Saraswati Prasade Sebe Mahadaksha. By the glance of Mother Saraswati, her Prasad, the goddess of learning's Prasad, hundreds and thousands of youth and old people and children were expert in scriptures. They became Mahadaksha in scriptures. Trivida Vayase, sorry, not Vishaya, Trivida Vayase. So people of three different age groups, the children, the youth, and the old people. Okay. Everyone was expert in scripture. Just like, you know, even in our own Krishna conscious efforts, we all have classes for different groups of people. We have classes for adults, you have classes for youth, you have classes for kids. So like that, this entire Navadvipa area was not only blessed by the flow of the river Ganges, where hundreds and thousands of people were considering it's very pure and they would come and settle down here. Also, Goddess Saraswati blessed that place so well that everyone was highly educated by the mercy of Goddess Saraswati. They were expert in various scriptures. Sade maha adhyapaka kari garva dhare balakeyo bhattacharya sane kakshakare. They were all proud of being great scholars. Even a young boy would challenge his teacher. So adhyapak is a teacher. So even a young boy, a balaka would challenge the adhyapak. He was so well read. Everyone was matchless scholars. Even young boys and girls, they were also debating so nicely. They had very good scholarship that even the elders would lose hopes of winning in front of them. So like this, they would debate on various scriptures, and they were profusely blessed by Goddess Saraswati. So everyone considered this place as a great seat of learning because Goddess Saraswati blessed this place. Nana deshe hoite loka navadvipa ya ya navadvipe padi lese vidya rasa paya. People would come and settle not only because the Ganges was there, people will also come and settle because they would achieve a taste for education. So just like today, everyone wants to study in Harvard or in any other good university that you can think of, or in India, you can think of BITS Pilani or the IITs or IISc. Everyone wants to go there, right? So like that, India, that time in India, many people would desire to come and settle in Navadvipa because Navadvipa was a great seat of learning. Any other place you can think of in India which was a great seat of learning in those days, where intellectual debates would happen?
Kashi.
Kashi, very nice. Yes, Kashi from north. Yes, that is correct. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says, students interested in studying logic, Nyaya Shastra, they came from Mithila to Navadvipa. It was a great migration that happened because Navadvipa was a great center for the study of logic. So many people, even Mithila is known for known to be a great seat of learning. And many sannyasis and qualified professors from Varanasi, North India, Kashi, North India, came to study Vedanta in Navadvipa. Because Kashi is a great seat of Vedanta. From there, they were coming to Navadvipa to learn Vedanta. And many students from Kanchi in South India, which was a great seat of learning, came to study in Navadvipa. Even Kanchipuram in South India is a great seat of learning. Great acharyas took birth there because they were great scholars and poets. Even they came to Navadvipa, seeing the glories of Navadvipa. So from various provinces, everyone took the opportunity of coming to Navadvip because they could become scholars in various fields of study. So it was not like they had scholarship only in Vedanta or only in Nyaya. They had scholarship in everything if they could come to Navadvip. So they could take advantage of everything possible. Atayeva padu yara nahi samuchaya laksha koti adhyapaka nahi ka nishchaya. Therefore, no one could count the innumerable students and millions of teachers who gathered there. Obviously, if everyone is coming and settling down, the more the students, the more the teachers. You cannot have, you know, you have this teacher is to student ratio, right? Even here in the US, where it's very important for every few students, you need one teacher. So even in the Yadu dynasty, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that the Yadu dynasty was so vast, right? So Krishna had 16,108 queens and he had 10 children with each of them. And you can imagine then he had grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So at one point, Shukadev Goswami says it was impossible to count the members of the Yadu dynasty. And forget that, it was impossible to count the number of teachers that they had to employ in the Yadu dynasty. It was so hard to educate so many kids, right? So you cannot even count the number of teachers. He gives a count actually. He gives some million or something like that, one count of the number of teachers that were employed in the Yadu dynasty. So like that, now in Navadvip, since it was such a lovely place where everyone could come and study, so the number of teachers also started increasing. There were innumerable number of teachers and students in Navadvip. There was an assembly, Samuchaya. Samuchaya means assembly or a collection of teachers and collection of universities in Navadvip. Now, we saw the Ganges bless Navadvip. Then we saw Mother Saraswati bless Navadvip. Is there someone else who's very important to us to bless the place other than Mother Saraswati?
Lakshmi Devi.
Yes, Lakshmi Devi has to bless the place, right? So without Lakshmi Devi, without opulences, what are we going to do? We need Lakshmi Devi. Come on. So here, text 62. Rama Drishti Pate Sarva Loka Sukhe Vase Vyakta Kala Yaya Matra Vyavahara Rase. By the merciful glance of Rama. Rama. Rama is Lakshmi. Rama Devi. The goddess of fortune. Everyone lived happily there, but there was one problem, okay? In this verse, there's a tragedy that is mentioned, but they wasted their time in mundane activities, unfortunately. Even Rama Devi blessed this place. Although by the mercy of Lakshmi Devi, Navadvip was full of opulences and the abode of happiness. When there is opulences, there is also happiness. Lakshmi always blesses you with both happiness and opulence. So everything was there in Navadvip. People were maddened by material happiness and they were simply interested in increasing their material knowledge. This is a problem with excess sattva guna. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the different gunas. He talks about the problems that one may face because of rajoguna, tamoguna and sattva guna. Can someone tell me what is the problem with too much sattva guna?
Pride.
Pride, yeah. Anything else? Pride is correct, actually. Yeah. There's one more keyword that is used in Bhagavad Gita. What happens when there is a lot of sattva guna? I think many of you know this.
Knowledge and happiness.
Happiness, yes. Knowledge and happiness. Pride, knowledge, happiness. Yes, correct. Very, very correct. When there is knowledge, sattva guna is born. Okay. Sattva guna cannot be born when there is no knowledge. Okay. That's one formula. So you need knowledge for sattva guna to rise. But the problem is with too much sattva guna, you become very content and happy. Pride also is a byproduct, but you become very content and happy. Now, when you're very content and happy, what's the problem? The problem is you fail to inquire further. You're so happy and content that you're happy with whatever is there. You fail to engage in what the soul is yearning for. Okay, so that is what was happening in Navadvip. So in his book, Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita 113, Tridandi Swami Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati Path has described the mentality of the materialists and tapasvi who had the time of Sriman Mahaprabhu were proud of their mundane, godless knowledge. They were very, very content with their knowledge. Material knowledge was increasing. Material happiness was increasing, and their sense gratification hence was increasing, and they were feeling very happy and content. So this reminds me of one of the conversations that Mukundadatta Prabhu was having with us once. He told us that actually this sattva guna is sometimes very tricky. It keeps you very happy. Oh yeah, I'm learned. I have a lot of knowledge of scriptures. Everything is happy around me, and you fail to inquire further. Like he gave the example of this town in Karnataka called as Mathur. In the Mathur town, it is known as the only active Sanskrit speaking town in the entire country, where everyone locally can speak Sanskrit, everyone like a native language, you know, they can speak Sanskrit very nicely. They are so happy studying scriptures. They are so happy getting their Vedic education, like from childhood. Everyone is educated in Sanskrit. Everyone gets their Vedic Pathashala education. They're also content, so happy. Everything is blissful. But the problem is they fail to go beyond that. They don't want to know about the Supreme Lord and devotional service. Even if a person is following the Vedic culture perfectly, sometimes you get so entangled in the so-called four Vedas, the content of the so-called four Vedas, that you fail to inquire further. You become so content. So that is the problem of mundane goodness. Okay? Because of mundane goodness, one does not inquire unto knowledge of the Supreme. So one has to transcend that. How do you transcend that? You transcend that by cultivating devotional service. So yes, we should have education of Shastras. All that is very important. But at the same time, it should not stop there. Just some sort of a speculation, like the impersonal speculation doesn't help. It will not help unless you add in devotional service. All of this goodness is actually only mundane activities. It only results in mundane activities. So now, after describing the opulences that Navadvip Mandal had, now the other side of the coin is now discussed by Vrindavan Das Thakur. He talks about what problems they were having. Let me read one last verse. Krishna Rama Bhakti Shunya Sakala Samsara Pratama Kalite Haila Bhavishyachara. The whole universe was devoid of devotion to Krishna and Balaram, and future symptoms of the age of Kali became manifest in the beginning of the age. So this is what was happening in Namadvip at that point in time. Yes, scholars were there. People were doing so many Vedic sacrifices. Everything was fantastic. But devotion to Krishna Balaram was not there. Also, it was the influence of the beginning of the age of Kali. So we all know, when did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear? When did our Yuga Avatar appear? He appeared in the beginning of the age of Kali Yuga. So the symptoms of the beginning of age of Kali began to manifest in the universe. People forgot about serving Krishna and Balaram. They forgot that was their main occupational duty. And they were doing all the Kaitava Dharmas. They were following all the Kaitava Dharmas. And they forgot the Parodharma. What is Parodharma?
Making others to become devotee.
That is Parodharma. Yeah, basically devotional service. Yes, that is correct. Correct, Mata. That's all. So now from the next verse, which will be our next class next week, we will see about what they were doing, you know, not following the Parodharma. What was it that they were doing? Details about what they were doing. Were they worshipping something else? What sort of, concocted worship they were doing? And how they would spend their money, how they would waste the money that they had. They had the blessings of Lakshmi, they had the blessings of Saraswati, but how they were wasting their life. They were all great scholars, Bhattacharyas and Chakravartis and Mishras. So these Bengali surnames, they're all very highly educated. But what were they doing in spite of having all the scriptural knowledge? So all that we will discuss in our next session by our next speaker. So we'll stop here. And I don't know if there can be any questions on this, because I was just reading from the purports. But if you have any questions or discussions or any realizations you want to share, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Jai, such a beautiful class, so engaging, I should say. So, yeah, no questions as such. But
literally reading Mataji.
Yeah, but just thinking that, you know, in spite of having so much opulence, and this is one of the subtle anartha, you know, that you have so much of opulence like Lakshmi, like wealth and knowledge, everything, health, but then what sneaks in is pride, right? So yes, this pride, because of this pride, you know, Navadvip was devoid of this ultimate parodharma, which is devotion to Krishna and Balaram. But yes, everything happens for a reason, because Advaita Acharya has to appear. Okay, thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Piti Vilasna Mataji. Can you hear me? I'm on my headphone.
Yes, we can hear you, Mataji.
Okay,
we can
hear
Preeti Vilasni Mataji, but we can hear you.
My question was, and you explained it, but I just need more clarification. When you say that they went there to purify holy places, so I understand that the Ganges becomes impure because of all the impure people that are, well, I don't understand how that happens, but anyway. So Ganges becomes contaminated because of all the impure people that take bathe in her, and so now it become purified, the holy people will be take bathe in there. And the holy place is similar. I guess I can't understand how can something like the Ganges, which is considered so pure, become impure just by the presence of impure people. How do we understand that contradiction in some way? I think you're muted because I can't hear you.
Yeah, thanks. So good question. So this is, again, it's from the Bhagavatam itself, where Ganges has this question to Maharaj Bhagirath that if I come, then these people, they're going to deposit their sins. So that's how she describes it. And she says they will deposit their sins. And because of that, I may become impure. So it's like they are relinquishing their sin and they are leaving it on the Ganges. So you can imagine it like that. And because of that, Ganges holds on. I mean, she has the burden of carrying the sin like that.
Okay, that makes sense, actually. It's not that actually she gets impure, she gets down. It's just that
holding the burden. Yeah.
Holding all that burden. Like the earth holding the burden of, right? Burden of love versus the burden.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Also, another thing I was thinking when you said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just arrived in the beginning of Kali Yuga, and I'm just thinking how bad we think it is now, right? How bad we think it is now. And to think that it can get worse.
Okay. This is the first 5,000 years, which is the glorious part of Kali Yuga.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and then the other thing I was thinking, of course, we can obviously extrapolate that. That's why all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were born in all different countries.
Exactly.
All right, all different countries, not just all different states of India, but not just the United States, but we have his pure devotees coming everywhere. So, I don't know, this just seems so... You can just feel the compassion that he, you know, how he doesn't just want to attract different people, because that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his friends and people were doing there, attracting, you know, everybody is qualified. There's not specific qualification to have. Everybody is eligible for this. But even purifying those different places, because, you know, if you're not born in a place where you know the incarnations of the Lord, you kind of will feel, wow, you know, I'm kind of lost. I wish I was born in this place, or I wish I was. But no, Krishna understands, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understands, like that feeling that we have. So that even if we may not be born in India, then at least we were born in some place where a pure devotee was born. So I was just thinking about all those things. The compassion extends much farther than just giving Krishna to everybody. Just a thought.
Exactly, exactly. That's so true. Like, you know, and look at the beauty of ISKCON. Like, anywhere you go on earth, you have a temple. And the more and more I think about it, like when I travel these days, I'm thinking like, yeah, wherever I go, I'll find something for sure, because there is something to do with ISKCON. Some devotee is there, some temple is there, some preaching center is there. Even if there is no temple, there's a preaching center or there's a congregation. And it's amazing what Prabhupada has done.
Or there's a devotee, like in Antarctica, there's a devotee.
Devotee, yeah. I was thinking of Antarctica, actually, now. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, even if we go to Antarctica, there would be a devotee. Yeah. So it's so amazing. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Danvat pranams. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for your wonderful class, Mataji. And I just wanted to, you know, share something that you said, that wherever we go, we have a temple.
Mm.
This is what I'm feeling from my heart. I feel like thanking Prabhupada not a million, but countless number of times. I personally feel that this Krishna consciousness is an oasis, you know.
Totally.
In a desert. And I have been, I was initiated into a different sampradaya. But the way, the systematic approach. So for everything we do, there's a philosophy behind it, which is being explained to us by so many of our wonderful preachers, that it's like from darkness I've come into light by listening to so many classes and so many associated with so many wonderful devotees. And how nicely they explain that it's like we know exactly what, you know, our Vedic religion is.
Mm.
In India, we were just practicing things blindly. Most people do have no clue why they are doing it. They are just doing it out of tradition. Even some Vaishnava sampradayas, I will not name them, they do it, but then they don't have an in-depth knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam. And they read the Bhagavatam, but they read it like, okay, it'll bring us, you know, pious credits. And they read it like a storybook.
Correct.
But when I'm hearing these classes, it's like a whole world opens up in front of me and it is so limitless.
Correct.
And it's such an eye-opener, and the purpose of Srila Prabhupada, it's like, I have no words to express myself, and it's just like countless to Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees like you. So that's what I just wanted to say. And then
it's the law book for the next thousands of years, right? Prabhupada,
yes.
A law book. Really,
so systematic. I wish everybody took to Krishna consciousness. I just cannot explain it. I cannot convince every one of my relatives, unfortunately. Because they are caught up with so many other things, but it's so wonderful. It's amazing. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for pouring out your heart. That's so true, every word you said. Thank you, Mataji. Okay. Anyone else? Any other questions, comments, realizations? Thank you, Vinita Mataji, for sharing that. Beautiful picture. That is the strength of our movement. One nourishing the other.
Mataji shared me from our WhatsApp groups. She was dedicating that picture to our Bhakti Sangha Jepa groups.
Nice. Yeah, that's the strength. One nourishing the other. Being there for each other. Otherwise, how can we all grow? Right. Thank you, Mataji. Okay, so no other questions, comments, and realizations. We can end the call here.
Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Yashamati Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Such a wonderful and amazing class. Today you just talk about all the glory of Vaishnavas, where they go, where they stay. The place is automatically sanctified like pure. So, and by their association, if you go somewhere like a pilgrimage, you do the association with the devotee, pure devotee. That is the main important thing. That's what you say. And this is a real fact too. Then we already get pure. Our heart become pure like that by the association of the devotee. Because we hear the Krishna Katha. That's like the main thing. So I like that point. And I like that point that Vaishnava influenced the place, but place is not influenced the Vaishnava. Mm. So that is the main thing, right, Mataji?
Correct.
So I like that. Yeah, I like that point too. And you talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I say, where he went in the whole world, he traveled, but all places, whatever it was, impure places, they become pure. And like you talk about the Prahlad Maharaj, he born in the demoniac family, but automatically all the dynasty and family and everyone, they become purified. So I like that. Very, very nice class, Mataji. So thank you very much for this enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you. And Mataji, I am so happy that you, then Kirtidasundari Mataji, all Matajis and all Prabhujis like Adi Gadadhar Prabhu and the other Prabhus, I really love, enjoy the class, this all classes. So
thank you, Shrimati Mataji. You always host so beautifully and you summarize everything for us. So thank you so much for that. It's a beautiful service you do for us. Thank you.
So Mataji, we look forward to your association again and again in future. And if nobody have a question, by your permission, can I close the call? And Vancha Kalpatarubhyashtya Krupa Sindhubhyayapache Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Har Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji Ki Jai Hare Bol Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prithvi Rasini Gopi Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam Srila Prabhupada Srila Gopinath.